This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I wonder if you've ever seen a video where a camera zooms out over from a satellite orbiting planet Earth into deep outer space. And it's then that we become aware of just how very small we are, as even the sun around which we orbit becomes a tiny speck too, a star alongside other stars. And as we zoom out further, we see our entire galaxy disappearing as other galaxies take shape and become minuscule too. The journey is mind-boggling, fascinating. In fact, it's awesome. I watched another satellite zoom recently where a camera went at great speed from outer space in over on planet Earth, hurtling through clouds, then on down through, seeing mountains and rivers, cities and towns, right into the grounds of Buckingham Palace, where it stopped. We have such amazing technology in our world. Mind, there'll be those who would call that intrusive and scary. But there's an even more fascinating video journey you can see, where the camera zooms right into the entire universe contained within cells in a human body. Oh, the awesomeness of all these wonders, these designs, the symmetry, the colours, such perfect order to it all. There is such intricate and delicate beauty in every living thing. There just has to have been a creator behind all of this. To my mind, there's no other explanation. It's a scientific fact that you cannot create something out of nothing. Now, some may believe that scientists have disproved God, yet there are just as many scientists who've come to faith because they've had their eyes opened to the wonders of creation. How great is our God is our first song, written by Chris Tomlin and sung by Hillsong. Scripture tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. It doesn't really matter how God created this world, or even exactly when or why. This is an incredibly beautiful planet upon which we live. It's like a gigantic spaceship, and whether we appreciate it or not, we are so privileged to have life upon it. But this is also a very fragile spaceship. James Irwin, a US astronaut, once recalled that in space, planet Earth looked like a Christmas tree bauble hanging there in the darkness. As he and his fellow astronauts moved further away from it, it shrank to the size of a marble, the most beautiful marble you can imagine. That warm, living object looked so fragile, he said, and so delicate, that if you touched it with your finger, it would crumble and fall apart. It is indeed a wonderful world that we live in. Let's hear Eva Casti and Katie Melua singing What a Wonderful World.
I see trees that are green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? But they're really saying, I love you. I see trees of green,
bought a small plastic globe and had it filled up with helium, and I weighted it below with a very short string with blue tack and paper so that it just hovered there mysteriously in the air without moving up or down. The children who came into my class were fascinated, and as they sat down ready to begin their lesson, I read the following to them, this anonymous piece of writing. If the earth were only a few feet in diameter, floating a few feet above a field somewhere, people would come from everywhere to marvel at it. People would walk around it, marveling at its big pools of water, its little pools, and the water flowing between the pools. People would marvel at the bumps on it and the holes in it, and they would marvel at the very thin layer of gas surrounding it and the water suspended in the gas. The people would marvel at all the creatures walking around the surface of the ball, and at the creatures in the water. The people would declare it sacred, because it was the only one, and they would protect it so that it would not be hurt. The ball would be the greatest wonder known, and people would come to pray to it, to be healed, to gain knowledge, to know beauty, and to wonder how it could be. People would love it and defend it with their lives, because they would somehow know that their lives, their own roundness, could be nothing without it, if only the earth were a few feet in diameter. This writing is all about appreciating our world and all that lives on it, and the need for us to protect and cherish it. Here's a hymn called For the Beauty of the Earth, sung to us by Libra. Our beautiful world is what we thank God for, particularly at this time of the year, at harvest time. But we also need to come clean and confess to being part of our horrendous stewardship of God's world, collectively as a human race. Jesus once told this following story to his followers. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you were pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Here is the parable of the weeds, based upon that story from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. And the song is from my album, Pearls of Great Price.
Some seed was sown in the countryside, genetically modified. An enemy there at eventide, as specified in the parable, sowed weeds. The plants grew up and multiplied, bore grain and all were satisfied. But then the mood intensified, as someone spied among the plants those weeds. Suggestions came in nationwide, "Let's spray the plants with fungicide, or use a neat insecticide. Gather in the crops weeds cannot hide. No, wait, oh, let our timing coincide, when reapers who are qualified will burn the weeds in bundles tied, and set our grain aside at harvest tide."
A story such as this about harvesting was immediately recognisable to those who listened to Jesus' teaching. The weed was most likely the bearded darnel, which in its early stages of growth is identical to wheat, but its seed, being ever so slightly poisonous, could make people ill. It could only be picked out from the good seed and got rid of after threshing, certainly not during the growing season, because the wheat would have been ripped out too, due to the roots becoming tangled with the weed. and the suggestion that an enemy might sow the weeds in the field of his neighbour was more than likely in those days. Jesus was warning his followers of the evil that can so easily enter into our world through our rebellious behaviour and wrong attitudes. Indeed, we're seeing through daily social networking scenes never witnessed before. The Amazon forest, the so-called lungs of the world, burning rapidly once again, out of control. Marine animals ensnared by nets and plastic. Pollution of our rivers and oceans and overfishing. The destruction of our coral reefs due to climate change. We can't fail to have noticed the continuing threat of nuclear proliferation. We often hear of the rise of racist attacks, drug trafficking, human trafficking, counterfeiting, scamming, fake news, knife crime, the poaching of protected wildlife species, hunted and killed for ivory, skin and horns, and the lucrative business of selling expensive weapons of war to countries with appallingly bad human rights records. The money accrued through this alone could do so much to alleviate world poverty. The list today is endless and it's depressing. Let's listen to a blast from the past. Joan Baez singing the gentlest of all protest songs. I do believe it was all about radioactive rain at the time due to nuclear fallout. What have they done to the rain? She sings.
Just a little rain. The grass lifts its head to the heavenly sun. Just a little rain, just a little rain. What have they done to the rain? Just a little boy standing in the rain. The gentle falls for years, and the grass is gone. The boy disappears, and rain keeps falling like helpless tears. And what have they done to the rain? Just a little breeze with some smoke in its eye. What have they done to the rain? Just a little boy standing in the rain. The gentle rain that falls for years, and the grass is gone. Disappears and rain keeps falling like helpless tears. And what have they done to the rain? And what have they done to the rain?
That was Joan Baez, capturing the mood there of that song really well. There's no excuse for failing in our duty to care for our world as its stewards. Our sin is the cause of so much suffering in the world. And almost every single day now, news is being pressed home to us of the need to protect our beautiful world and each other before irreparable and irreversible damage is done. So what can we do? Well, I suppose we could start with a prayer saying, "If you can use my life, Lord, begin with me." A lecturer and theologian, Tanya Marlow, printed an article last year to suggest that in Western schools and in our churches, Harvest Festival should be a festival of repentance rather than Thanksgiving. But surely there's room for both. But we do need a different kind of harvest celebration in today's world, don't you think? One where we acknowledge the need for a new kind of harvest in our lives, that of right living, The Bible calls this a harvest of righteousness, and we must act differently, faster and more decisively before it's too late. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul mentions a harvest of seeds sown by the enemy, the very things behind much of the trouble in our world: hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, much of what we're experiencing today. Then he quickly moves on to recommend the good seed that we should sow instead: the harvest of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Think what harvest we would all then reap across our world if we were to sow such seeds of peace, gentleness, mercy and godly wisdom, rather than disorder and evil. If only we could live as the prophet Micah says, by acting justly and walking humbly with our God. A friend of mine, who's a priest in Burden and Dudley, Angela Moon, wrote this next song that United Folks sing. It's called Join Him to Fight for the Future.
Join him to fight for the future, not with guns or bombs, my friend. Join him to walk on to glory, armed with love and all you need to get you through. For victory is within your grasp, and hope for the future in your mind, 'cause he came.
So the real reckoning is being played out all across our world today, a conflict which runs right through the entire human race, in every nation, in every religion, in every culture, a battle we all face, that of the battle between good and evil, of Armageddon proportions. Will we stand firm right to the end? Let's allow that same satellite camera which I spoke of earlier to zoom in into the hidden crevices of all of our hearts and expose what's really there. What does the thermometer of our minds tell us about our present condition? Are we ill at ease? Do we have sleepless nights? Do we worry needlessly? Are we truly at peace? Is there a deep-seated anger in us? Are we even thirsty for the things of God? And is there something we would like to confess? This is not an exercise to make us feel uncomfortable or depressed or condemned, but to lift us up, to help us recognize and admit our failings and help us to see which direction we need to travel in the future. Because Jesus came to make all things new, to recreate and restore. So let us root out any weeds from our hearts and make a stand for all that's good and true. And let's think about what responsible stewardship of the world really means, and do something about it. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah tells us that the best things in life are free. They're given by God. His love, his grace, his blessings. They're not for sale. they're there for anyone to receive. He wrote, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live." There will be a final reckoning one day, so let us take our stand together, reaffirm our beliefs, repent of any sinful ways, and let us continue to praise God and thank him for his provision. A well-known theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr, once prayed this prayer, "Lord, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference." Isaiah also encourages us from that point on to go on with renewed joy and be led forth in peace as we gather God's harvest in. And our final song reflects this, sung by Bill and Gloria Gaither. But first, let's just say goodbye. Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And bye from me, Sheila Hamill. Have a wonderful week. Bye for now.